This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. Today's guest is Natalie Plummer. I'm really excited to talk to her. I've known her for a couple years now. But just diving into a friendship and then really gaining my respect, just seeing how open and vulnerable you are on social media. Her social media handle is Hello Meridian. She has over 47,000 followers and was awarded Small Business of the Year by the City of Meridian. I love the mayor, by the way, Robert.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
I think he's a really good, neutral, strong voice in our community. Mm-hmm. Has like some heart.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I really enjoy
Sorry,
him.
Sorry, side note. But I do. I mean, you got to high five everyone when you see them and they're doing well. Also, you have the Boise Bubble podcast with your husband, Shane, which I just saw in your house, and he is lovely.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. High five,
Shane.
Glad
I'm married to him.
Yeah, really cool. And you've also been featured on CNN. I've seen that clip. Very cool about Boise. And you just won Best of Boise.
Yeah, for our podcast.
Good job.
Thank you.
Did that feel good to be like honored?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was, I think, because the Boise Bubble was kind of like a side thing, an experiment, because I get kind of tired with the limited attention span of social media. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, what can we do? And then now it's like become this new thing, which is honestly the story of all of our projects, I swear. Mm-hmm. Like, you're probably right there. With that, this, you know, you start something is because you're passionate about it, and then suddenly it becomes just this such bigger thing.
Yes. How did you start social media? I know you were like doing other people's, running their socials and growing their brands. How did it come back to you and being like, yeah, let's make this more
like an influencer or an influencer page? So I've been doing social media for 16 years, and I was a blogger for 9 years talking about motherhood, and I had, national sponsors like right away, just because it was really new. So I worked as a writer and content creator in blogging, and then I stopped that when blogging kind of started to wane a little bit, and then took a break, started a social media management company, and then Hello Meridian started kind of to put more traffic towards those businesses. But then I put my face on it, and actually I started putting my face on it as kind of a reaction to a really low place in my life. I had had it was like 1 month, my entire world kind of collapsed all at once. The friends that I thought I had were my friends, I found out were not really my friends. My marriage went like just to such a low place. Spiritually, I was devastated in just my development. And health-wise, in 1 month, like, I found out I was really sick. So I was kind of at this place where I thought, I can either just, like, lay in bed all day and just kind of crumble, or I can just explode and just, like, be so strong. And so for the first time, I put my face on the page in a very vulnerable way And then it just became kind of more of a voice.
Do you remember what that post was when you showed your face, or were you just, did you just go for it, or did you tell that story? Like,
I didn't tell that story, not at all. Especially because there was a lot of anger. I was still dealing. I mean, right. I wasn't even close to even thinking of healing. All I knew was that I didn't want to diminish into this like sadness. And the first time I ever showed my face was like at the Riverside Hotel. And I just seriously did like a selfie that was just kind of showed my face. And then just all these people were like, oh my gosh, like you run this page. It had been going for like 2 years. And then my friend Diana from Boise Bucket List was like, hey, you know, you should put your face on this, because she had her face on her page quite a bit then. And I can't remember. It just kind of slowly was stories. And then I can't remember the first time I put it on my first page. But yeah, it was it just transitioned the whole experience.
Did you find like a sense of power and like confidence when you did do that through the next couple weeks and months? Like, did you feel like validated in that choice, or were you like, oh wow, the secret's out, I can't put Pandora back in the box kind of a thing?
There was never that, like, because I'm a relatively confident person. It wasn't that I wasn't putting my face out because I was like afraid. It was just more that wasn't what the page was supposed to be about. It wasn't going to be about my voice. It was just going to be like, it was just kind of a side thing I was doing. But as soon as I put my face on it, I realized this was going to be a part of my identity. And that was a little odd, because I wouldn't necessarily say that what is shown on Hello Meridian is really indicative of who I am as a person. Like, you've seen me.
Yeah. And that's when private. I honestly like really started to like enjoy you. I'm like, oh, this is Natalie, like the real Natalie. And I feel like probably I'm the same way. It's just like, I mean, I have a totally different page than you, but I'm also just like, it's nice to put the screens down and not be so judgmental of everyone, and, you know, seeing like someone go here and then judging them and that kind of thing. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today, is like divisiveness, healing for a community, making good choices, watching the words that we speak, and then what those words actually mean.
Yeah, I love that conversation. And before we get into that, I know we had talked about the possibility of dual releasing this on the Boise Bubble, which I think would be great, because I think, you know, your podcast is so valuable. Could you, for my listeners who are listening and maybe aren't as experienced with your podcast, do you want to tell us a little bit about what your podcast is all about and kind of your mission?
Yeah. So my podcast, this podcast, is called The Girl Powerful Podcast. And my sister Sonia and I started it. Actually, we started it in Boise, in downtown, in our first apartment here. And we had a PR agent. We had just moved here from LA. And she was the one that actually was like, hey, we're doing all these news segments about mental health tips for girls, because Girl Powerful was founded on a 10-week after school program for social and emotional learning. And we were in schools up and down Southern California taking care of the youth. But then COVID hit and schools closed, so you have to pivot. And that word pivot, that is the word that was in the first piece of press that we got that was bigger than like a blog or something. And that's when we got in Forbes. And it was like the first brands to pivot. And it was a roundup. There was like 20 brands, but we were in there.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's pretty cool. Because we went to Zoom really quickly before like everyone was doing it. And it honestly provided us with work and helping people for like, you know, a year and a half or 2 years. And like, we don't teach those classes anymore because people got like Zoomed out or Zoom fatigue or whatever. But yeah, so the podcast, we've been booking everyone from like The Bachelorette, Bravo celebrities, pro athletes, female founders, like lots of really healthy foods. Like, our friend owns The Good Milk, and it's alternative milk brand that she's like,
love that place.
Yeah. So that's what we do. We talk to women and then we hear their stories. And on a lot of our podcasts, everyone always says, I've never said that out loud.
Yeah.
You know, especially like someone that's been on TV or something like that. And they're like, oh. But it's like, that's what's cool about talking to women, is like, and having a space for them to do that and just be themselves and share real stories about maybe it was a dark place, like you kind of said, like you hit rock bottom in a way, having all those things happen in a month.
Yeah.
And then to, you know, gather yourself, gather tools and like push forward, because that's the goal, is just like to make it till the end whenever that day comes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really pretty special to talk to women, I think, and hear from people all over the country, different walks of life, different backgrounds, different careers. I've learned a lot.
I bet. And I knew your podcast before I knew you personally, just because I thought, well, this is amazing. And I have daughters. And so just having these conversations with very empowered and powerful women, you know, just mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that you put that out for the community. I just don't think a lot of people know that you're based here in
I
Boise.
I don't think so either. You know? And it was interesting. I'm a really transparent person. For the first year that we were in Boise, I was like scared to be here, you know? Yeah. We didn't want to lose our LA connections. We didn't want to lose our LA funding, all that kind of stuff. But then about probably a year ago, time's flying, Natalie, just so you know. Like, it's really wild. Uh-huh. Sonia and I did move our 501c3 to Idaho.
Okay.
So it's like a full-blown commitment.
Yeah.
But it was like kind of just like, you know, our curriculum probably leans more left and stuff like that. And sure. I didn't want to have to tell the story to everyone and explain it. Like, it's like how you think social and emotional learning for children or humans is any kind of political thing. You're full blown insane. Like, I'm sorry, but it's emotions. Like yeah. You don't want to teach people how to express themselves so they can be a healthy member of our community. Like that period.
Well, I think you just touched on the fact that we have politicized everything in Idaho it's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you're hearing this and you're not from Idaho, you might just be like, wait, what are you talking about? But it's kind of like every single thing, it's a bullet point, and then you're going to decide what, you know, are we left or right? And then I think you're very similar to me in that, we don't really need someone to make those choices for us. We're kind of looking what's valuable, what's kind, what's healthy. And I don't care. I don't care if you want to put it in your little box because it makes life simple for you. Like, I don't care if I have to make life simple for you. I'm trying to be a good human, and your constructs might help you navigate life, but I don't need them for me. And that's, if you're not in Idaho, you might not get that. You might just, or if you're from Idaho, you might not even know that's weird, that it's an unusual thing that we do here. That we have to put everything into these little black and white places.
I feel that's so right. Number one, I want to talk about what being a good human is. Mm-hmm. And number two, my goal as a human being is to be expansive and to grow and to keep my eyes and ears open. And that might be the teacher in me, but it's like, that is definitely what my journey is. And I don't think I'm different than a lot of people. I'm just a little braver.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, what, we're recording it, we're saying this out. It's like, this is very vulnerable stuff to just, like, be yourself and say that.
Yeah.
Because I drove to your street, and it's like, there's American flags flying, and that used to just be a symbol of, like, I love my country, I love who I am. I am so blessed to be here, and you are too, and there's no way we don't love America.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But when you see it on a flagpole now, it makes you feel like, they don't want me here. Mm-hmm. I'm not invited. They're closed off to open, like, to new opportunities, new people. I don't know. Boise's just been a really big ping pong match in my head. So many blessings have come from moving here. But then there's been a lot of, like, internal confusion.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I'm frustrated with that because I'm a very patriotic person, but I don't believe in nationalism. And, my definition of patriotism is very different from other people's. And I like to put like a flag out. I'm like, I don't want someone to claim it as if it's like claim it for their own party. That makes me very, very angry. But then it's like that nervousness of, well, I like that you said that you want to be expansive and open. And now we are strangely moving into a place where being curious, being thoughtful, being expansive is actually seen as a negative, which is mind just I'm trying to not swear.
Good. Because I will get dinged from my sponsor. Okay. Indeed. They always call me and say, Teddy, stop cussing. I'm not even kidding. And then I have to do a make good.
Okay. Yeah. So I won't do the swearing. But I don't know if everybody... I think the more people talk about it in a kind, open way, the more people are going to be able to comfortably do it and not be nervous. But I think we have a lot of people who love their country and love their community and want to continue to learn and grow, acknowledge the things that we're not doing right as a country. To me, is extremely patriotic. And my family has ties on both sides back to like the revolution. Same. Like when I think of my family, I think patriot. At the same time, that doesn't mean whitewashing what's wrong. And you know, many other places that wouldn't be an issue, but here it just tends to be, at least, especially in the last 12 years.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's wild.
Oh, I think the American flag is the most beautiful thing ever. And to me, it just means, wow, you're so blessed. Like winning the lottery of birth.
Oh,
you know?
I know.
So it's just like, I don't know. And I've been really like aware of who I'm friends with, who I'm befriending. And like, I have been more open in the last year. And I'm just really nervous about the election.
Yeah, I think I'm going to shut down. Honestly, there's no winning.
No.
There's no, like, no. I made some boundaries for myself just with the election, because I am not going to let the way that news is handled now, like, diminish my mental state. And all I can think of is I have one thing. I have a vote. I have one vote. Mm-hmm. That's all I have. I don't need to participate in this complete reality show situation. So I am myself starting in 2024, I'm not going to watch the news when it has anything to do with the election. Whoever's running, I'm just going to read up and make a choice, and then I'm shutting down, because that's all I can do. And I don't need to be in a place of constant anxiety because our country is having a toddler temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to be part of that.
Yeah, or like get mad at some people that you genuinely like at the gym or whatever. It's like, but if you see their Instagram and they're going ham on something you totally don't agree with, it's like, wow, now I'm part of the problem too, because I'm placing huge judgment on them.
Yeah, and I just try to scroll past, because I think, you know, we haven't been in a situation again to win, but... I don't want to judge people by who they vote for. And I think that's...
Yeah, I agree. But I want that respect back.
Oh, yeah. But you won't get it. No. No. But we have a lot of people who demand respect but are not offering it in return. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
So we should light their houses on fire?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably not. But like, you know, it's... So you have to come to a place where you're not trying to find... balance in that. It's just, are you a good person?
Yeah, worry about yourself.
Good
person. You've said it twice. What's a good person?
What do you call a person who speaks three languages? Trilingual. Someone who speaks two? Bilingual. Someone who speaks one? American. Only 22% of Americans speak a language other than English at home. Start learning a new language this fall and be the exception, not the rule. Because with Babbel, you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. You may be asking, why Babbel? And it's simply because it works. It gives you tips and tools of learning a new language that are approachable and accessible. Currently, I am learning Spanish because I'm going to Mexico and Spain next year, and I cannot wait to be a part of the culture. Because I can order at restaurants, communicate with taxi drivers, and just immerse myself and actually be in the present moment. So here's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. A 55% off Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/girlpowerful. Get 55% off at babbel.com/girlpowerful, spelled BABBEL.com/girlpowerful. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, that's so interesting. And I think we all have our own definitions. And I talk about this a lot, like just in conversations, but semantics are big. You know, we have these words that we say over and over again, and we all have our own definitions of what those are. I think if you were talking to anyone on a plane and you're just sitting down next to them and you say, are you a good person? They'd say yes. Mm-hmm. Are you a kind person? They'd say yes. Are you open? Are you respectful? And they would all say yes, because I think everyone does believe deep down they're a kind person. So then you go to the question, what is a kind person? Mm-hmm. What's that definition? So let's say my definition of a kind person, for what I am looking for, what I try to be, is someone who makes, I want to have someone who's around me feel safe as a human, that the way that they believe, the way that they live their life, that they can come to me and they're going to be safe as a person. And I'm not going to, I mean, I'm not saying that I'll agree with everything that they do, but when they're around me, they feel safe in my presence.
Yes.
I think a kind person is someone who does not demand that someone else lives the way they believe they should live, that they allow other people to live. That to me is a kind person.
Yeah, I really like that.
If you ask somebody that, do you force your beliefs on someone? Mm-hmm. Do you force, or do you believe everyone should think just like you? That's changing the dialogue, because a lot of people say, no, I think everyone should believe this way. I think everyone should vote this way. And that's not kindness to me. But that's my definition. I don't know. Yeah. What's your definition?
I was driving here, and, you know, we talked about what we were talking about, and here it is. And the word that came up for me was comfortable. And it's, you just said that, I mean, just in more words. But it's like, yeah, making someone feel comfortable around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone pushes, you know, their agenda on you, or pushes their pain on you, even beyond politics or religion, it's mm-hmm. like pushes their junk. Like, we used to do some women's groups in LA, and one of the first rules would be no dumping. You know, it's like
trauma dumping.
Yeah, no dumping here, you know, because like I want everyone to feel comfortable. I don't want you to bring up this really traumatic thing in an hour situation. Like, where you're going to open a bunch of wounds for people.
Sure.
And just like make it worse than it all was before we started.
Or if you're going to do that, to ask permission. So mm-hmm. like I left organized religion. It's been years now, but like the healing process is pretty extreme. So I had a friend I was out to dinner with, and she wanted to ask me a bunch of questions. I'm like, okay, well, let's set some boundaries, because you are still part of this religion. I want to respect you.
Sure.
If you want to give me permission to be fully vulnerable, and that means I'm not going to try to be respectful to your beliefs. Mm-hmm. I will say it as I feel it, but I need you to know that's what we're moving into. Or we can move on to another conversation, but I gave her the choice. Like, if you want me to trauma dump, I will, but sure. I need you to understand that's what's going to happen. Otherwise, let's talk about our kids and some fun stuff that's going on. And she did make the choice for the trauma dump, and it was like 3 hours.
But like, you're like, how much time do you
but
have?
I didn't push that on her.
She,
you know,
wanted to.
And that was something, you know, she kind of gave me the gift that I could open up, and I gave her the gift of vulnerability, but it was established and boundaries were set.
Very cool.
And I do try to do that with some friends, of like, hey, I know that we're politically different, and to be honest, I don't know what most of my friends' politics are,
totally.
Because I don't ask.
And I don't care. And I don't ask how much money is in your bank account. Like, no. Have we forgotten what manners are?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
100%.
But wouldn't that be cool? Hey, go to some manners classes.
Yeah, well, and but who's teaching them now?
Oh, yeah.
And
scary.
Like, at what level? Because, so I think that, yeah, I think a good person, a kind person.
You know what came up with you saying the boundaries thing and asking for permission? Is like to slow down.
Yeah.
I think that's when people's feelings get hurt. And then you're like, that lady's mean, or that guy's mean, mm-hmm. you know, and then he's mean forever in your head. When maybe if he would have slowed down from whatever they were doing that mm-hmm. day, he could have just been a normal person and that person dies forever,
yeah.
you know, and a kind person. But if you snap, and we all do, mm-hmm. listen, I'm not here telling you I'm perfect and Natalie's not either.
Yeah.
Or are you?
So far from that.
Kidding. But do you know what I mean? Like that is one of the best things about living in Idaho, in my opinion, is the slowdown can be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that like my nervous system has calmed here so much because I'm not looking behind myself all the time in a parking lot or even at the beach and things like that, that you don't realize like what you've actually gone through until you pull yourself out of it.
Yeah.
You know, pull yourself out of the place that kind of hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm kind of in Idaho for the slowdown, to heal, to be around actually good people. And this place is full of them.
There are. It just happens to be that like the kind of the cruelness is very loud.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I know. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I think there are a lot of people who come to Idaho with trauma they haven't dealt with, and then they push it on because they see change. And we don't have the tools to deal with some of the trauma that we have. And so sometimes it comes out quite viciously. Then we have people who've lived here their whole lives. I mean, I've been in the Pacific Northwest pretty much my entire life. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Spokane, and like seeing change is scary. At the same time, change is inevitable. Change is America.
Yeah.
But then we have people who react very volatilely to change. Instead of just realizing this is the one life we have, are we going to be gracious? Are we going to be welcoming? Are we going to be kind, good people? Or are we going to be angry all the time?
Oh my gosh, how exhausting.
You can make that choice.
But like, why would you? Like, you and I have been practicing yoga lately together, and it's like, wouldn't you rather make the choice to like feel and like heal yourself and find love in your heart for yourself and beyond your body and beyond your mind? Like, I don't know how to even get through to those people. Not that it's my agenda, but it's like, I also am like, have you heard of that book from Oprah? Like, Who Hurt You?
I haven't. Is it good?
Oh, it's like so hard to read.
Really?
Yeah. Like, me, and she even says that with a doctor she wrote it with, like, this is not a beach read.
Yeah.
This is something that's going to bring some stuff up, you know, because everyone's hurting.
Yeah.
But it's like the choices you make throughout the day that you are a grown up. You decide, like, I've got to show up for myself. I'm not going to be angry, because that's just not, in my opinion, a way to live, because just it makes you miserable.
You're also a thoughtful person, and we've talked about that often. Like, not everyone is thoughtful, especially when it comes to their own self-identity or a self-awareness. I know a lot of people who, honestly, they are getting through their day. They go to work. They come home. They're going to crack open a beer. They're going to open up some Doritos, and they're going to watch the show. And then they're going to go back. And, like, the thought of doing inner work, that's so far from their radar.
True.
And like, so there's a lot of people, especially in the generation that we're coming out of, is that just was not a concept. Then we're moving into a generation of Gen Z that is so hyper fixated on it, which I think maybe is going to go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
We'll see how that's going to go. I think it's a good direction in many ways, but I think this generation is going to struggle. I hope we get some more tools the one after that. But, you know, the kind of person who's thoughtful and curious, they're probably also not listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not.
Oh, they're not?
No,
Billy
no.
Bob's not listening to the Girl Powerful podcast?
Probably not. Oh. But, you know, deep down, it's weird. I talk with what I do for work. I end up talking to people who are just so different from me. So different. I've talked with people who are, you know, very they seem like they're just pretty, I don't know what the right word is, like very intelligent, but maybe just not so self-aware. But I'll be having dinner with them or something, and then I just tend to ask very pertinent questions, like very, I'm blunt sometimes. And sometimes you can tell they're questions they've never been asked, but that what is revealed underneath that is often so complex and so beautiful. It's just many of us are not around people and in situations where we can dive into those softer places, but they're there for everyone.
Yeah.
We had this guy who was a veteran who lived across the street who would just sit on the street in a chair with no shirt on, like all day, and just kind of get irritated at everyone. Mm-hmm. Right. But after like one conversation and asking some very curious questions, this person who you never in a million years would have thought would have warmed up, like the layers down of what he'd gone through and his love for his family and just like things that just because we asked, he was able to tell us. And I think there's a lot of lessons that I keep on getting is that even the person that has certain flags in their yard or it comes from a place that seems like a place of fear of change or whatever. So often when I do get the opportunity to sit down and talk with them, like underneath is such a lovely person, but they're often just masking with this fear or with the, you know, they haven't had the tools to deal with significant trauma. And so I'm really being in Idaho, like I really, it makes it so much better for me when I look around and even the people who are often very cruel and loud, I think what's underneath there, who hasn't asked the questions to get there? Like who, I don't know. It makes me feel like just a little more unified, even if we feel so different.
I love that. I think it's, goes back to elementary school basics. Like there's no stupid questions. Like start talking to your neighbor, mm-hmm. you know, and be, where do you find that grace though? Like what does grace mean to you? I feel like that's something that's really important right now. Yeah. Giving yourself that grace and finding peace within and also giving it to your neighbor and your community.
Yeah. I mean, that's a word that so many people attach just to like religion.
No, not me.
I don't either. It's funny how many words you use and they, one person will have such a totally different definition, but mm-hmm. I love the word grace because I hope I can ask for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've made some serious mistakes even publicly. I mean, I haven't meant to, nothing like crazy, sure. but like I haven't always responded to every comment as nice as I would want to. But I think if you allow other people as much grace as you're hoping to receive, mm-hmm. it's a much easier calibration.
There you go.
You know, yeah.
That's just golden rule.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Grace. It's actually in Kundalini. It's always talking about grace versus grit. Mm-hmm. And like, we're all gritty. Like we're alpha females. We are building brands. We are building businesses. You know, at the end of the day, we think we're right. We know we're right. But we give grace like where the cracks are. And even within ourselves, like on, especially like those days that you mentioned, like back in the day when you don't want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. I think those are the days that you really need to show yourself grace. And like someone in the grocery store that's like might be crabby, it's like you don't know what they're going through. Yeah. Let it roll off your back. Like why are we such a society of like letting like comments or words make huge wounds in who we are that we have to just live with it?
It's because like, we don't know who we are, like, and so we let the outside influences dictate that. Like when you are so strong in who you are and know who you are and set the boundaries of who you are, then other people's perceptions of you don't affect you like that. Totally. But if you're still molding and still not sure and still kind of not quite getting it, and then somebody's, you know, the way someone is talking with you or addresses you, you consume it, you fester on it. And like, and we all have that probably with our moms.
Sure.
Like you can't get away from certain relationships. But, you know, I have someone I know quite closely who it doesn't matter what you say to him. He will find a way to interpret it as an offense.
Oh.
And it's just a very sad way to go through life.
Does he have any awareness of that? Or
yeah, he does. But uh-huh. I think that almost goes to like a, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to tell someone else's story. No. But like, but only after the anger has died down. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, when you don't have control of, like everyone's going to have emotions, but we have the responsibility to control how those emotions make us react. Mm-hmm. you know, I want to feel deeply, but that doesn't mean I need to explode in anger. I can feel anger and fury and still talk completely patient. Mm-hmm. You know, it's harder with sadness, you know, because you got that tear situation. Jeez, you know,
yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm such a crybaby.
That's great. But like there's some, but, so one thing I would love to chat just real fast about mm-hmm. is that we are both like Boise is very small.
Oh, really?
You know, have you noticed? You know,
yesterday at the village, I'm forgetting her name, but the carpet detective was like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
She's so nice. She's her first name.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to forget. Hold on. I want to say, hold on.
Anyway, she was like, are you Teddy? And I was like, yes. And it's like all these like Instagram relationships we all start. And I think it is popular everywhere, but I feel like Boise in particular has a very big like online social community.
Yeah. Well, cause we're small and it's a smaller, like, we haven't grabbed onto it as fast as other places, mm-hmm. but like if you are active on social media, you probably know each other, mm-hmm. Which I love. And I've met so many fantastic people, but, at the same time, I know there's a lot of people who are looking for connection, especially women with each other. It's easier to bond on social because it's curated and maybe not as easy like offline. Mm-hmm. When you think about your tribe, you know, offline, your real tribe, the people who you talk with, the people who you are safe with, how would you describe that person? Because I think a lot of people know what they want in a friendship, but maybe don't know how to be that. Does that make sense?
That's exactly how you build a friendship is you become that. That's funny. We teach that and grow powerful.
Yeah.
Well, it's important. What if you were 8 and someone kind of said something like that to you? Like you're writing a list of what you want in a friend and then you flip the page and it's like, are you these things and how do you become that? So what I recently, since I've been here 2 years, I've met quite a few people. Mm-hmm. Some were fast friends, and that's always a little scary, honestly, like a love bombing kind of situation. You're just dude, no, I don't want to hang out every day. Like, I don't hang out with anybody.
I don't hang out with my husband.
But, like, why do people do that? I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to, let me answer the question.
Yeah.
So,
but I do want to get back to it.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Remember. Okay. But yes. And I don't want people either to think that I'm not nice because of that. It didn't work out kind of a thing, but it's just like, you came on too strong, honey.
Sure.
And I have boundaries.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not seeking a lot of things right now. I'm 37. Mm-hmm. I have my family and my sister and my boyfriend and my home dogs. Like, you know, when you're 37, I'm not seeking a lot of things. I feel like I'm a 4 quarters, not 100 pennies kind of person. Like, I need.
Oh gosh, I've never heard that term.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
Natalie, oh, listen to my podcast. I'm throwing that stuff around 24/7.
I'm like, wow, that's
right?
Me. Yeah,
it's the quality over quantity, and it's not my 25th birthday party where I want 30 girls at the table. I want 3 that I can tell anybody anything, where I buried the body, you know, that kind of thing.
And I'll never tell anyone.
No, and
way,
like,
that
why
stays
with me. I'm not a murderer, but you know, like things like lately, especially like with Tommy, like we're going to therapy and I'm open about that, but it's like someone that I could tell like why.
Yeah.
It's like those people are literally less than 5 humans in Boise.
Sure.
And then like looking at inviting people to my wedding, we wrote a list and it was like 1 person maybe.
Sure.
And they're on the maybe list. So it's hard. I think it's hard mm-hmm. to even know that because I just like want to protect my heart. Like, cause I have a lot to like give a friend and I don't want to be hurt. And some talking about this, you know, last hour is like, is anyone even developed enough to be with me?
Oh my gosh, I hear that.
Does that make sense? And not in a judgmental way.
Yeah.
But I go to wine, I go to do whatever with people think I'm friends with everybody.
Sure.
And sure, but I would use that friend, like I use the word homie. It's like that is my homie. I would say I have a lot of acquaintances. Mm-hmm. And when I hear people like gossiping or talking about other people, you know they're doing it about you. So why would I open up and lay all my cards on the table and, you know, be vulnerable with strangers if I don't trust them. So I'm looking for trust, because at the end of the day, you can trust me. And if I value you, like, please value me.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's so beautifully stated, because, I mean, there are women don't always have the tools to know how to value friendship. And so we have these perceptions of what it should look like. Like, I have very few, very close friends. And even those, I mean, we're talking like once a quarter, maybe, mm-hmm. that I'm seeing them, mm-hmm. because I have a whole huge like life that I'm, you know, I've got a family and I've got, you know, careers. And that doesn't mean that those friendships aren't extremely valuable. It's just, I don't need quantity, like you said.
Or to let people in that like don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because isn't that the best? Like, to be able to have a couple girls over and be giggly and like be yourself, mm-hmm. and actually like let down your guard. Cause I feel like sometimes with new relationships, I'm pretty open, but it's not the full me.
Sure.
You know, yeah, like, cause I am a very light, funny person, but mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say those silly jokes or do whatever, you know, the real Teddy does at home or with my family, that in front of people I don't know.
Yeah.
Because there's that respect for myself at this point. In my 20s, I would like give, and I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is my like tired chapter. Like, I said that to my therapist. I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But it's like also rebuilding, right? I'm acknowledging that I'm tired of giving to everything through Girl Powerful, to kids I don't even know. Like, I'm a healer. I like to do that. I'm of service. Like, that is who I am. I'm a teacher. That's my jam. But this has to be my chapter to fill my cup. Mm-hmm. And I know I can do so many big things, like in 10 years once I've filled my cup, and I can give back like tenfold.
Yeah. I think another reason why I would assume that you know some of this about yourself is because you've already looked behind the curtain of what appears as popularity on like social media and in business. That I think a lot of people who are so craving validation in business or in social media and all of those things, that it's the quantity that looks impressive, mm-hmm. you know? And so people are still going for that. Like, so many friends and so many invitations and so many events and so many accolades, and all that stuff's great and important, because, mm-hmm. you know, there is part of that world, but then...
Well, yeah, we like to make money.
Yeah, and, right? and that's, at the end, though, that's what it's about. It's a career. It's careers that happen to also be kind of cool and sexy. Mm-hmm. So then you think it's the cool and sexy that matter, and it's like, not really. And I'm in the kind of the rebuild, because I'm almost 46, mm-hmm. and like your 40s, you know, I was so exhausted in my 30s. And then your 40s, it's like a different tire, but it's almost like a mental just exhaustion with society and the planet, and you're just like, you know what, I'm going to protect who I am, yep. and I have a lot of relationships and friends, and they're all very valuable, but mm-hmm. I think you've seen me a little more chill myself, and that's not who I'm just going to give to everyone. People talk about authenticity all the time, like, dude, you being authentic and then being completely transparent and showing your deepest, darkest, softest softs or parts is not the same thing. We don't owe people who haven't earned our trust the deepest, best parts of ourselves. Way. And that's not being authentic. But we have so many different facets of who we are. And I'm going to show like my big boss energy in one place, and I'm going to show, you know, different places. But like that, like, the what I really cherish or what has really caused me true pain, like, I'm not just going to give that to anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I need someone who we have this mutual respect and love, and that doesn't have to be developed over years and years. Sometimes you meet people and it comes easier, yeah. and sometimes that happens, and then you don't stay friends forever, and that's okay, because you witness each other for a moment. Mm-hmm. But it's being able to, I know people in my life who could never be that for me and many other people. They just are not going to be a safe witness to people. They're going to use what they here for fodder for conversation, or they're so selfish that they hear everything in terms of themselves. And as nice as a person as they might be, they're just never going to be my close friend.
Yeah.
They're just not going to be. And so when I think about people who are really like struggling, like I want to connect, like turn that back and like, how safe of a human are you? How are you able to witness someone else? Are you a vault to them? Mm-hmm. Can you take what is most precious and keep it safe forever, even if that friendship ends?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a hard one.
Well, I think it goes back to being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm not going to tear someone else down to make myself feel better, or someone tell me, you know, whatever about their childhood and I go tell a couple other girls. Like, not interested in hurting anyone in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't, that hurts me.
Yeah.
Like, hello, how do you guys sleep at night? I literally go to sleep right when I lay down because I have been a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no one I'm snaking. I'm not lying to people. If I don't want to go, I'm going to tell you. Last night I was supposed to go to someone's house and I just was like, I can't. Mm-hmm. They didn't like it. And yeah. I was like sending Tommy on a 7-day rafting trip. It's like, I actually could never see my boyfriend again. I'm going to make dinner with him and help him pack. Like,
sure.
But the person did not want to take the objection. Like, she was like, are you kidding me? Like, Tommy's not old enough to pack his own bags. I'm like, it's beyond that. It's about being together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but isn't that wild that someone would be like trying to force you to come to their house?
No, it's not surprising, actually. I'm like, no, not at all.
Sounds
not like not anyone in my current group.
Exactly. Like, awareness to that conversation. I'm like, well, that was a little harsh because I was just being truthful. I could have hid behind text, said I have COVID or whatever the hell I wanted to lie about, but I didn't. I picked up the phone. I was being respectable. And then again, I went to bed and didn't even think about it because I did the right thing for me.
Yeah. I think what it strikes me is that you come from a place of abundance instead of a place of scarcity. Mm-hmm. That like, and a lot of people don't know the difference between that, but like, you know, so much about it's seeing each other as like, I don't know how to say this, like kindly. There are some people who will see you as what you can give to them. And some people, the relationship is how do you build each other up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you take turns with that. And not everyone's to that place, you know.
I like that taking turns. I think that goes back into building a nice friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being aware of that. And honestly, I'll be real, like in my 20s, I took a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but that was like survival mode, like you're saying, versus abundance mode.
Mm-hmm.
And my license plate says abundant.
It does?
Yeah. So I love that word.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, that's very important. It's the very important to...
The matrix is real.
But that's the biggest word, in my opinion, the best word. Because when you're open to receiving, whatever it is, beyond money, guys, like that's just an energy that comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too attached. Yeah. You never know.
We need it, but it's not...
It's not everything. Yeah. It's these nice conversations with someone where you can tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and someone actually holds the space to do it.
Yeah.
And then abundance is just knowing that like you are supported by the earth, like you are supported by something bigger than us, whatever it is, not in a religious way, maybe in a religious way, whatever you want to think.
Yeah.
And we all can think differently. And that's an abundant mindset too, to being open to all the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that you work on yourself, you eat good food, you work out your body, you sweat, you know, you upgrade at Meridian Labs, whatever. You do it so then your cells are on a higher frequency so you can attract those good things. When you're eating Doritos and watching TV, you're going to be low vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Low vibes for life. Mm-hmm. You wonder why you're just stuck because you're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, no one's coming to save anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's like those moments where you're like laying on the bathroom floor, like an Eat, Pray, Love, crying. you decide.
Yeah.
You listen to your heart, your intuition, and maybe a God, and you get up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. But you gotta take some accountability. Mm-hmm. Come on. Right?
I love that.
Is that not true, though?
No, it is. And I like the way that you said it, because part of being at a higher frequency is to allow people to define what that abundance, what that life means for them, and that it doesn't, you don't take that as being an attack on the way you see it. So the way I have a marriage does not need to attack someone else's relationship. The way that I connect with a higher power might be defined in a different way. And if you are, if you feel oppressed, or if you feel like it's problematic because I don't use the same terms for a higher power or the same method of connection, that's not a problem with me. That's a problem with you. Like, you have a responsibility to allow people to have this abundance in their life, mm-hmm. this connection with a higher power or no connection with a higher power, whatever they want to say. Yep. Your only responsibility as a good human is to let them do that thing and to respect them in their choices and to move on from it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of circling back to where Idaho is still searching for
some peace.
Balance and
peace.
But I think we can get there, especially if we have more conversations that are...
just say the truth.
Yeah.
Our truth.
Yeah.
Because that's all we can own. Mm-hmm. We can't shove our stuff down their throats either. But maybe see a little clip of this. Maybe, you know, see some quote. And then maybe just a little pause in someone's day to be like, huh. You know, and then a couple more pauses. And then maybe a little change or maybe some interest and come to yoga or go on a hike or do something. Yeah. Outside of, that's the big thing too, is like, you got to change your goals, and there's always moving targets, and you have to incorporate new things into your life. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, why would you want to be the same 18-year-old self? Like, can you imagine?
Sad. No.
Like, I love her, but it's like, that's sad.
Yeah. And I sometimes think about the different versions of me, and I want to make that person proud by my growth and development, even though my 18-year-old self might look at my life now and be so confused and even like, I don't know if I like that mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. But this not being afraid of growth, not being afraid of change with your friend group, with your family, with your community, with your country, like that's how we are soft and easy and mm-hmm. kind and continue soft. To be safe for each other.
I like that word, soft. Okay, so every podcast, I didn't mm-hmm. put this in our email, we end with a question.
Okay.
What makes you feel most alive?
I didn't read that, so I'm actually not.
I know it's not in there.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm not going to put the good stuff in
there. Oh, yeah, because I'm like, I don't remember. I would have thought about that. What makes me most alive? I think what makes me most alive is living a constantly like developing life with my partner who is also doing the same thing. Because having... like, we don't need a partner to be whole. Mm-hmm. But in my case, my partner makes me feel so alive and full and true to myself. And, like, having this person who witnesses me and I witness him and watching each other change and loving each other through it has just been, like, the greatest blessing. And it's just amazing. So nice. That makes me feel alive.
Yeah. That's special. Very cool.
Yeah. And you're going to get married and, you know, you're going
to have... just a little blurb to hear. Like, you know, it's like to constantly evolve, but then be in each other's sphere and do it together. But it looks different. It gets messy.
Yeah. It looks so different for everyone. Like,
but what's one constant?
Constant?
In that like turbulence of growth and change and... evolution and love, like what's the constant for you and Shane?
That we genuinely want the other person to be happy and satisfied. Mm-hmm. Like genuinely want that for each other. And like, we don't have to pretend, like we feel it. Mm. Like I feel how much I want him to be his best self according to his definition, not my definition. usually they're the same. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not, and that's okay. And then, you know, watching him be so proud and changing his mindset on things to match what maybe he didn't know before and vice versa. It's just we have such trust in each other in that we have each other's deepest respect in mind, I guess.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing that. So where can people find you?
So you can find, so the Boise Bubble podcast is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and on Instagram. And then my Instagram page is Hello Meridian, and we have a website too. So
thank you so much, awesome. Natalie.
Thank you. This is fun. We're going to probably cry a little bit.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.